A thoughtfully built wardrobe comes down to pieces that mix well and last. That's where Quince shines. Premium fabrics, considered design and everyday essentials that feel effortless to wear, and they're dependable as the seasons change. Quince has everyday essentials I love with quality that lasts. Lightweight cashmere sweaters, short sleeve Mongolian cashmere polos, tees in 100% Pima cotton, and European jersey linen. These are the versatile pieces that make a wardrobe that actually works season to season. Quince works directly with top factories and cuts out the middleman, so you're not paying for brand markup or fancy retail stores, just paying for that quality clothing. And they only partner with factories that meet the rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. Guys, you heard me talk about the winter when I was going home, how I used Quince to get an awesome winter getup, their jackets and sweaters when I went home for the holidays. But I live in Florida, so now it's time to start that next evolution of the year for my wardrobe. I'm checking out their shirts, I'm checking out their tees, and their website is super fun to navigate with so many options. So you got to go to Quince and check it out right now. Go to quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping and 365-day returns. That's a full year to build your wardrobe and love it, and you will. Now available in Canada too. Don't keep settling for clothes that don't last. Go to Quince, quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/crypto101. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money. And has Bitcoin bottomed? Are we opening up the hopium tanks? I know you saw the thumbnail. Brian was taking a deep breath into that hopium. We're going to break it all down of where we think the markets are. And not only that, we have some major news. Kraken, of all exchanges, has just hit a major milestone getting in with the Fed. You're going to want to hear that, so stick around for that. We've got some other stuff. Friend of the show, Jamie Crypto Diamond, is still crying. Trump's tweeting about the Clarity Act. There's some fun little quick hitters about Bitcoin usage we're going to go over. And then, as promised earlier in the week, we're doing a Momentum Moneymakers meme coin update. Brian's here again. Yeah, these guys continue to have some winners, so we're going to talk about those. And then if we have time, we'll just get into some fun back end of the show AI talk. I'm hot from the sauna. I'm cold from the cold plunge. I've got an iced coffee, Brian. It's Friday. I'm feeling great. How are you, my friend?
Are you you starting to like looks maxing on me or something with this? Hot sauna, cold tub. I mean, Tivo's getting healthy here.
I'm over here taking my hard drive, just nailing the chin there for all the looks maxers. That's a deep joke. Really went for the full bit there on the looks maxing. That's great.
Yeah, you know, it's we do have some exciting news to talk about here, and the market's just, let's just jump into CoinMarketCap, bud, and talk about it, because right when we get a little bit of life in us, you know, I got the hopium mask on, you know, I'm putting the hopium masks on to my kids after I get my mask securely on, just like the airlines. This is we're back under 70 with Bitcoin, and it's not surprising. I mean, we talked about it in the last rundown. There's certainly some narratives out there, geopolitical-wise, just everything that's going on in the market. So we're in the chop zone, and we're absolutely living in this chop zone. This is my warm water that we are living in, and we're absolutely making it happen. But Bitcoin, 68K, Solana, 85, Ethereum lost 2,000, right at, what, close to 2,000, but it's not surprising to me, you know, the movements we're going. We're not just absolutely getting flushed out, but it's Friday. We're going into the weekend. Who knows what type of announcements we could get from the White House over the weekend with everything that's going on. But I think some of the pullback here that's happening is, you know, we're getting more and more intel about this geopolitical issue with Iran. And it looks like, I think Trump said something recently, like, unless they completely give up, I'm not thinking the words, you know, just surrender, the war may take a little bit longer, and the market doesn't love it, a volatile asset, but nothing fundamentally is broken here. But you can see once we start to get some bullish headlines that the markets can move, and they can move pretty quickly.
Yeah, couldn't agree more on the heading into the weekend. Obviously, the crypto markets trade 24/7, 365, just like we saw last Saturday with a move on Bitcoin. You know, if something happens, you know, macro wise, you're going to see Bitcoin and the crypto markets move first over the weekends. But that totally makes sense. A fun little rally, basically kind of a week-long rally, if you will, going back to last Saturday to get above 70. And we're going to keep tabs on it. It is hard to kind of guess where this is going to go. I don't think anybody in the world could tell you, you know, exactly where this is going to go based on a macro environment, but it is good to see some life. So I'll pull up here with the fear greed index. We'll share this tab. Finally got out of extreme fear. It's like we've been in extreme fear since late January, basically. So, you know, basically a full month of February in extreme fear on a lot of the metrics there. So good to see the pop there. Again, I think it's telling of, you know, the future's still there. People, the buyers are still coming in. And we're definitely going to focus on crypto. We're going to focus on Bitcoin. But I don't know, man. We do this show a lot, and we put out a lot of content, a lot of awesome content. And we've been kind of telling this, kind of tracking this IGV comparison for Bitcoin and the IGV software trade. And I just got to say, we've been talking about it. We know it was leading down. But, you know, over the past basically week, it's up like 8% on the week. And I just want to give credit to us because it's something that we've been calling out. I kind of want to give credit to me specifically because it's something that I feel like I've really been harped on. It's Friday. I got nice coffee. A little credit to me. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, 8% on the week, that's not bad. I think that's going to, you know, that's a lot of trading. There was a interesting stat I saw. It was the IGV software compared to semis. It was its greatest week-long dispersion. So it was like a 10% delta of people were selling semis and buying software. And that's probably just a trade. But it goes back to the kind of what I said when we were talking about the macro markets as a whole is the money's not leaving the markets. The money's trading. It's bouncing around. And obviously, crypto being the biggest risk on asset will probably be one of the last places for the money to flood in. But when it does, it's very violent. And that's what we saw, I think, this week is like, all right, if Bitcoin was dead and Ethereum was dead, you're not going to see these 6 to 10% pumps in a day or two. And so it was really, really good to see that. It's a great time, again, to be listening to the show and joining the community and seeing where things are going. Where's the puck going? Because when the game's back on, and again, we played that clip from Raul Paul the other week, retail will be back. And not only will retail be back, but he'll be on the show. I got him booked for Monday. So the guests keep coming in, Brian. The builders keep building. Robinhood keeps building. We got Max Kaplan from Soul Strategies coming on next week. This is when winners win, when the markets are down and you're educating and you continue to build. Builders build and builders turn into winners long term. So I think you're in the right place. I'm super excited to continue on the rundown. But let's keep it crypto and Bitcoin specific. We haven't looked up a friend of the show, Eric from Bloomberg, checking out the Bitcoin ETFs. But again, a lot of positive stuff. Obviously, like there was some sellers just like everywhere across the market, but there continues to be some interesting flow. Just basically the boomers love to hodl, Brian. What do you think about these ETFs?
Yeah, I mean, you can see that we're getting some positive inflows. I think actually yesterday we did see over the past, we did see some negative inflows of a couple hundred million, but overall pretty net positive. I think over $1 billion in inflows for the month. And it's great to see that the inflows are happening. And that's a big catalyst about where our next moves are going to be. Institutions and news where we're going is institutions absolutely have an interest in Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency market. And money is flowing in. Now, it'll trickle out here and there. There's definitely always the ebbs and flows to it. But great to see that, you know, we're starting to pick up some steam here with these ETFs. Again.
Yeah, no mass selling, no mass running for the exits. And it's basically the same storyline that we've been telling since we've been covering, you know, the birth of these ETFs. It's like, hey, these products don't get made for to be around for a year or two and then they're gone, they're sticking around. And the people that have been educated to, you know, again, this isn't 50% of their net worth. The people that are buying, especially these BlackRock ones, it's a 1, 2, 3, maybe up to 5% at most allocation. And it's part of a larger portfolio. So it's good to see them being strong. And it's not the only strong look here. I saw this is Matt Hogan, of course, another friend of the show. Kazakhstan buying 350 million, or I guess trading, invest from its gold and foreign exchange reserves into crypto related assets. So taking a little bit of gold, moving it into crypto. And you might say, and this is exactly what I thought. I was like, ah, Kazakhstan, who kind of, you know, doesn't really get me riled up on a Friday afternoon. But I thought Matt made a good point. It's like, hey, the market hasn't really priced in sovereigns. The market's just like, oh, the sovereigns aren't buying crypto. And the market, you know, he says the market's wrong. That's obviously a little bit more of like, you know, bullish on crypto take, but you know, it only takes, you know, one big buy from one big sovereign fund. And then it, again, they start tripping over the feet. So something that we've covered before, but I think when you see the smaller people doing it, it is worth covering. So Kazakhstan converting gold into not just Bitcoin, but crypto assets, which I thought was interesting. And kind of speaking of crypto assets, we know how much people are hurting out there with altcoins, and it's, you know, near all-time lows, and they're saying it's worse than the post-FTX period. So I thought it was a cool thing to put here, just in the sense of not the price action's cool, but it's good to look back because you can learn from your past trades, you can learn from your past investments, you can learn from your past trials and tribulations. And so I thought it would be a good thought exercise for us, Brian, to be like, hey, the price action is similar to the FTX period, but I certainly don't feel like I did back then. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've said this quite a bit, that FTX debacle was pretty rough for my mental state. I'm nowhere near that mental state, and I'm closer to the market than I've ever been. Maybe that's why I'm not near that state, you know, because I was just reading headlines and not really diving in back in the FTX days. I was just scared. Now, I've seen my fair share of bull and bear markets, and this one doesn't. I call this one of the weakest bear markets of all time. But, you know, it is what it is, and nobody loves when the price goes down. These altcoins are interesting to me because, and this could be a hot take. This could be a hot take for other analysts here, but I do think there's some altcoins out there that are crap, that aren't making money, that aren't doing big things, and we're just seeing more and more just kind of like tokenized stuff. But then there's this other sector that are revenue generating, these super apps. For instance, the Hyperliquids of the world, where they're doing something innovative and they're utilizing crypto in the way it's supposed to be used, which I think is extremely interesting. In not financial advice, I feel like some of these super apps or some of these altcoins are massively discounted right now. Now, does that mean that they can't go down? I don't know. If I knew this, I would be leveraging everything, and I'm not doing that because now's not the time to do it. But some of these super apps are really interesting. I'm not even sure if this is on the sheet. I'm going to go on a little tangent here. But we even got news today that the parent company, the Intercontinental Exchange, ICE, for the New York Stock Exchange, made a huge billion, I don't know the exact amount, a $25 billion valuation of OKX Exchange. ICE made an investment into this. So we're seeing more and more TradFi companies integrate with these major crypto companies, and their vice president of like strategic something made a really interesting comment where he said that, I wish I had the quote in front of me. He said something along the lines of, their biggest competition isn't CME and NASDAQ, it's DeFi protocols. It's the crypto world. This is a guy coming from the vice president of Intercontinental Exchange, a parent company of New York Stock Exchange, and he specifically called out like super apps, like Robinhood, like Uniswap, like Hyperliquid. And so some of the, you know, I get Robinhood's not a crypto, they're a stock, but you know, they're close enough to what we're talking about here. So there's a world here where I do think some altcoins are massively undervalued, and then some are probably can, you know, send them off down the river.
It's the same with Robinhood. It's TradFi's investing in crypto type projects with crypto technologies. Robinhood is just building their own, obviously. And we've covered that nonstop. We had Johan Kerbat on the pod Tuesday. That's going to go out on Tuesday next week. So you're definitely going to want to tune in for that one. That was great, great episode. Before we move on, we're going to move on to Kraken next, but we got to give a shout out to the chat, an absolutely active chat on a Friday. CJE sucking in some hopium, Beachfronts here. Utu Beamy from London across the pond. That's awesome. David from Pinellas Park, close by to me. What's up, David? The great Habish, been seeing him a lot recently. Thanks for joining. Beachfront from Palm Springs. Who else do we got? And David. Yeah, David and CJ. Yeah, that's about everybody. Sounds good. We got an active chat. Anybody else that's in there that hasn't commented yet, let us know where you're from. And if you can, give us a like. And if you're new, on the bottom right, hit the logo. Give us a subscription so you don't miss out on all the good content. Kraken. Kraken news. Breaking news.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you're a small business owner, you already know what it takes to keep everything moving. You're juggling customers, invoices, and about 100 decisions every day. Thankfully, taxes don't have to be one more thing on that list. With Intuit TurboTax, you can get your business taxes done for you with a full-service expert. TurboTax matches you with your dedicated tax expert who knows your industry, understands your business write-offs, and gives you the personalized advice your business deserves. Upload your documents right in the app, hand everything off, and still feel like you're in the loop the whole way through. You can even get real-time updates on your expert's progress right in the app, which makes it so much easier to stay on track. And you can get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com to get matched with an expert today. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
Shocking. I was like, if there was an exchange to make breaking news of this magnitude, for some reason, I didn't think it would be cracking. That's just me. Call me biased. Gemini, friend of the show. But you got to give credit where credit's due. You know, you're thinking with something like this, as much as Brian Armstrong's been basically living in D.C., you think it might be Coinbase. Maybe it's the Winklevoss in Gemini. No, it's the Kraken Exchange has become the first crypto platform to gain access to the Federal Reserve's core payment system, putting it on the same payment rails as thousands of U.S. banks and credit unions per CoinDesk. Let's listen to Cynthia Loomis, who I believe is on retiring soon, so we're going to miss her clips. But a two-minute clip here. I think this is worth maybe listening to about minute, 90 seconds. And then, Brian, I want to hear your take.
This is going to be a huge asset. And today's announcement by Kraken that they now have access to a Skinny Master account is going to add another opportunity for the new integration of the fiat dollar with digital assets. So this is a huge step forward. Very happy to see the Fed finally realize that we can integrate these financial products in a way that benefits Americans.
Senator, explain the news with Kraken, because I'm not sure I understand it. I've read it, but I don't entirely understand it. The news that the Federal Reserve is now going to be accepting this first digital asset company to earn a master account. What does that mean?
Well, Kraken used a Wyoming law that was very foresightful, called a special purpose depository institution, to form. Wyoming has a very comprehensive, clear examination for safety and soundness of these companies. And yet, under the Biden administration, the Fed would not approve digital asset companies that formed similarly to access the Fed's payment window. So there wasn't a way to integrate digital assets with the U.S. fiat currency.
So integration is here, Brian. What was your initial reaction? Kind of shocked and curious, similar to Becky there, the host. I was like, man, you know, just off the jump, I need to look in and learn what this is, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it's to kick things off here, it's a Skinny Master account. It's not full banking privileges. So Kraken gets payment access, but doesn't get interest on reserves, FDIC insurance, or like that emergency lending from the Fed. But still, huge news. I mean, Kraken just became the first crypto company with a Federal Reserve Master account. And this is a bank, a direct banking arm to connect with the Fed's core payment rails like Fedwire. So this is big. And the big reason is it just gives major, it's a major milestone for these crypto companies in the integration of TradFi and crypto. And it signals institutional acceptance of crypto native financial institutions at its finest. So we're seeing the parent company, ICE, Intercontinental Exchange, invest in OKX for live crypto data feeds and all of this, more TradFi going into crypto. We see Kraken now getting this master account with the Federal Reserve. This is just more institutional acceptance. This is just, I mean, follow the breadcrumbs to like where this is could possibly go. If Bitcoin or crypto was going to zero, I highly doubt that a lot of these things would be taking place right now. That's why it doesn't feel like past bear markets. FTX was freaking scary. Tom Brady lost all this money. It was all over the news. Like, there was just a lot of things that hit home. Wow. Like, this is a scam. It's different. This bear market's a little different because we have this, people are acknowledging crypto. Major people, not me. Major institutional players are acknowledging crypto as an asset class, is a big part of investments in the future. That's why it kind of sucks that we're in this bear market, but this is what's happening. There's a lot of reasons for the market we're in right now. But once we get some positive news, just, again, follow the breadcrumbs where this is all going. This is a big institutional acceptance of a crypto company.
Couldn't agree more. And a friend in the comments, Cooper Jr., 4298 is saying integration is important, but we're dancing with the devil. We most certainly are, but that's growth. I mean, if you want the mass adoption, and we've talked about this on the show over the years, is like, hey, you know, we want the sovereignty and we want to be our own little cult. But you know, if you want number go up and you want Bitcoin to, you know, one day, you know, get up to the gold market cap level, like these are the integrations and the acceptances that you have to have. And it's getting to the point where, I mean, geez, Jamie Crypto Diamond is crying. I mean, he's saying, hey, if you want to be a bank, be a bank. It's like, okay, well, we'll just, you know, get the backdoor access from the Fed and we'll do this and we'll do that. So let's listen to, it's all ties together, I think. Let's listen to Jamie Crypto Diamond continuing his pouting, if you will.
You and your peers have reportedly clashed with Coinbase's Brian Armstrong over the Clarity Act and specifically this idea of crypto exchanges offering rewards for stablecoins. And Armstrong was on CNBC with Sarah Eisen a few weeks ago from Mar-a-Lago, and he said there's a path forward for the market structure bill that's a quote win-win outcome for everyone. How are you feeling about it right now?
The banks feel strongly that there should be rewards are the same as interest, and that, you know, a compromise would be that you could pay rewards on transactions, not balances. If you are going to be holding balances and paying interest, that's the bank. You should be regulated by a bank. So we've been firm. One thing over here, yes, but if you want to be a bank, become a bank. Then you can do whatever you want under bank law. So I remind people, your viewers may not know, banks have restrictions and requires. FDIC insurance, AML, BSA, we have Community Responsibility Act, which means we have to open 25% of our business, LMI neighbors. We have social requirements. We have liquidity requirements, capital requirements, transparency requirements, reporting requirements, board requirements, governance requirements. If they want to be a bank, so be it. So what we base is level playing field by product. It can't be you have these people doing one thing, you know, without any regulation like that, and these people do another. And if you do that, the public will pay. It will get bad. So people should take a deep breath. What is you want? And we want competition. You know, we're actually one of the biggest users of blockchain. And, you know,
we love the blockchain. We love it. We love the, nobody uses blockchain more than us. Don't let them do it. But we can do it.
The public will pay. Yeah. I mean, literally, he's going a little off the rails there. I mean, the question definitely, I thought about this. I did a market update on it as well, that it does feel like we're a little farther from getting this Clarity Act signed than I felt like maybe a week or two ago, especially when I saw Brian Armstrong's like, hey, win-win scenario. The more I think about it, there's probably not a win-win here. Either the banks are going to lose because they do not want people earning yield on holding crypto. And crypto companies like Coinbase, their whole business is on paying people to hold crypto and giving them yield. Now, it is a very interesting break here. And right when he brought that up, he went off the rails a little bit. He literally used the public will pay. And if Coinbase wants to become a bank, So Jamie Dimon, what do we know? He's the most powerful banker in the world. And other bankers listen to what Jamie Dimon said. They're not going to push back. So that indicates to me that we're probably a little bit farther along than we think with the bankers really conceding to holding crypto and getting paid on yield. I am a big fan of holding crypto and getting the full amount of yield. And then we even had Trump. So this was like Monday. Then Tuesday, or Tuesday, Brian Armstrong and some crypto lobbyists actually go to the White House, rub shoulders with Trump, talk it up a little bit. And all of a sudden, Trump hits Truth Social and the White House tweets it out. Basically, Trump throws banks under the bus. And he's just saying, like, they do, you know, just definitely sides with the crypto side of things. Yeah, super producer TiVo, thank you so much for bringing it up. And just talks about how important it is to embrace the crypto side of things. So at one point, this is great because we have the most powerful man in the world pretty much siding with the side we want him to be on. But then part of me, then the pessimistic side of me is like, all right, like we got Jamie Dimon going off the rails. Does not sound like a guy that's close to inking a market structure or Clarity Act bill. And then Armstrong goes and talks to Trump and Trump's like starts tweeting out. I feel like if it was like really close, Trump will tweet about anything, but I don't think he's probably going to send this tweet out to kind of like, you know, it's worked in the past. He's egged people on. He's got people moving. But there was a great Sanders, I believe. He works for Decrypt. He's a White House correspondent. I read some of his tweets and articles. He had some really awesome breakdowns about this and about how it's really important for the White House. And they kind of put a soft deadline of March the 1st to get this deal inked. And that's why we're starting to see at the beginning of March, a lot of people starting to bring it up. Brian Armstrong going to talk to Trump. Trump sending out this tweet because the White House wants this deal done. They want it done in the spring because what happens, what comes come May, we have midterms. And Congress halts. Like, they're looking for their own funding. They're not as concerned with some of these things. Like, things slow down. So the White House wants to get this done in the spring. Not to say this isn't going to get done. I think the Clarity Act's going to certainly get done. I think there's a strong path. But with Jamie Dimon's reaction and then Trump tweeting this out, it does feel like we're a little farther apart than what I was hoping for. I would love to know your take or the chat's take, but that's my gut reaction.
Yeah, let's shout out to the chat, man. Super active on a Friday. And I know it's not fun when we're not printing green candles and all that stuff, but I hope you're sucking in the hopium with us on this Friday and you're just enjoying being here. Chat's super active. What do you guys think of all this? Is the Clarity Act going to pass this year? And fire off some takes. We'll read them. My take is I don't know, man. Until Polymarket really gets one wrong, on a big scale, it's hard to fade. It's hard to fade when they've been. It's really, really hard to fade. And again, it'll change. It changes. But like right now, it's like you're leaning towards this getting passed. And it almost, when Jamie Dimon loses his cool a little bit on live TV, it almost feels like he's not getting his way. So is there progress being made? And there's tons of pushback. Obviously, that's what the Trump tweet that we have up is like, there's pushback both ways. But, you know, Trump wants this to be a win is like, it's like, obviously, he wants it to be a win for the quote unquote crypto people. But again, we always say the mass adoption is people using crypto rails that don't know what they're using, that don't know that they're using crypto. And if there's a way for people to get these high yield savings account and clip 2, 3, 4, 5%. Compared to what the banks are offering now, which is pennies on the thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars that they're making money on, is good for the average American to get that income and share that income a little bit. Because again, the banks take your $100,000, give you 3 cents, but then they'll sell you a loan with your own money back to you for 7% plus all the fees. So it's like, that's kind of, I think, what this debate is a little bit about, is give access to the, you know, some yield. And what I found really interesting, I saw that there was a Wall Street Journal article, a Wall Street Journal article about crypto-based savings account has banks anxious. Avelyn Brown of the Wall Street Journal getting a little bottom right corner there, tucking it in underneath the Tendy's right pad. A little low on the ice, not top shelf. It's not sexy. It's not a top shelf. It's not a dangle. This might be like a tip stick bottom right pad since we're everybody loves hockey now after the USA men and women's win gold. Interesting there. You might not be able to see it there in the middle. I'm trying to move my cursor, but it kind of
is this. Looking at it, I mean, this is like a newspaper. Did Mama TiVo cut this out and send it over? I mean, this is straight up newspaper.
But it's just showing you like, hey, the top 25 high yield savings average, you know, at 3-4% versus, you know, the average of what savings account, what the banks are offering, you know, half a point, you know, 2 basis points, if you will. That's when you know you're in finance and you're cool when you say basis point, by the way, fun fact for all of you. So it's just, it's interesting that there's a lot of momentum around this. I think, you know, when the Wall Street Journal starts talking about it and the president's talking about it and Jamie Dimon's losing his cool, I'm going to say there's some interesting changes being done in the Clarity Act. And, you know, again, it's a hopium episode. So suck it in.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I do. I mean, he's obviously not happy. And it's a great take on the other side. And I think it's important that, you know, probably love it or hate it, that Trump gets involved. And I like that he's siding on the crypto side more than the bank side, because that would make everyone feel a little more. Banks are powerful, though. I mean, they have some powerful people.
No doubt.
They've been around for thousands of years. They got some powerful people. And we're dealing with Jamie Dimon, who's the most powerful banker. But they have they also, on the other side of it, they have a very strong vested interest to make this work as well. Out with the old, in with the new, and there's going to be some changes, but I don't think banks are going to lose as much power. But hey, I would like to earn yield on crypto I hold. Like, what the heck, dude? Like, that's a big reason we're in crypto, is because of the advantages it gives to the retail people. And I think people will respond. I hope Congress responds. I like that the White House is starting to kind of like back the crypto companies, but we definitely need to see a little bit bend of the knee. But I'm not on the side of like there's going to be like a clear win-win. I would love to know someone that's smarter than me to map out the win-win. I do feel like either banks are going to be pissed or the crypto companies are going to be pissed, one of the two. And the chat is just,
it's unbelievable.
They are beasts.
We're going over the chat right now. I thought, let's see, Andy, I think it will pass this year. I think it's teetering, even if Trump has to make it past to take our minds off other stuff. Yeah, that's kind of what our take was, is like, hey, the crypto cohort was big for him for the election, I think. You know, there was many other facets. It wasn't the only thing, but, you know, midterms are coming and it's looking tight. I always say I took one class of political science, so call me an expert. Let's see what else.
Got a TJ, D. You passed.
CJE. C's and D's get degrees. Tinfoil hat take from CJE. Maybe we can get a tinfoil hat take on this. Beachfront, the banks are toast. Let's see. David Murray, B of A, paying a half point on tying up 100K exactly. They better pass. Someone say base. Andy likes base. Yeah. So again, everybody's kind of, again, leaning towards the poly market, leaning towards, you know, we're pro crypto here, so we want it to go through, but we want it to be constructive. I think that's something we said a couple weeks ago, is like, hey, I don't want this thing to pass, and then we're going through it, and it's like, man, this is not good. And we're going to have to be honest when that happens, right? We got to see what happens, see what's in the bill, and break it down. So just moving on, a couple quick hitters before we get to the main event of the Momentum Moneymakers wins and the fun stuff that we can talk about at the end of the show. Just a couple quick Bitcoin quick hitters here. I saw that the Indiana governor signs a bill into law that allows Bitcoin to be invested into state retirement plans. I thought that was interesting. And then this one I just saw today. Square back in the news. We never really covered what they did last week, but this week, Bitcoin specifically, looks like they're calling it a bounty to onboard new Bitcoin merchants. Users can earn $25 in BTC for making their first ever Bitcoin payment to a Square seller who hasn't previously accepted BTC using the Cash App. You know, again, $25. So I guess it's kind of a marketing campaign for to get new I guess storefronts to accept and use Cash App so they can get the payment rails and get their percentage points on that. So it's like maybe if you're, you know people that own these storefronts and you're a Bitcoin person, you'll tell them about, hey, do you have Square and you accept Cash App? Like, oh, like you turn on the Bitcoin function and, you know, I'll use it or something. So it's, I thought that was cool. It's going to last a month here. So if you can get, if you know people that are using Cash App specifically to accept payments at a storefront, tell them to flip on the Bitcoin payment option. You can use it. You get $25 and then just buy it back the next day once you get the $25, right? A little free BTC. So I thought that was cool. Any thoughts on that? Any thoughts on maybe a nice little, do you think this was rushed? Do you think this promo was rushed after what they did last week, firing like 30, 40% of their staff?
Yeah, you could probably argue that. It could have been a little bit rushed. We could argue that.
We need a promo, boys. We need a promo.
Yeah, something.
Let's go to the main event. The chat wants it. They want the momentum moneymakers. They want some meme coin action. Where are the profits? Where are the wins? Guys, Brian's going to go over kind of what he does inside the community. You know we're here for you on the podcast. We're here for you on the YouTube. But if you want more access to Brian, more access to Joe and the entire team, you get the first alerts, you get the newsletters, and you kind of get a real inside look into what they're thinking and what they're looking at. Again, it's not personal financial advice. It is education. And those first alerts go out, and there have been some absolute winners. We're about to cover one right now. And, you know, when you attend the lives, we like to give you a deal. So there's a dollar trial. If you're interested to get more involved with the Crypt Nation community and Brian and Joe, just go down in the description, $1 trial, check it out. We'd love to have you in there. So let's move and give the people what they want. Brian, did you bring a winner for us today?
Yeah, we can talk about, well, what we're talking about a lot in this momentum moneymakers world, we'll talk about meme coins if they're hot. We'll talk about NFTs. We'll talk about Polymarket sometimes. Anywhere where there's like a lot of momentum and a lot of steam, and recently where we've seen a lot of momentum and probably most of our calls have come from this like AI crypto world. You know, we had this AI crypto run about a year ago and it fizzled out, but if you're part of Momentum Moneymakers, you know that I think this AI crypto world and how it's going to integrate is going to absolutely open the floodgates of, because we say it all the time, AI agents or AI can't go down the street and create a bank account and utilize payment on your behalf, but they can get set up with a crypto wallet and funded and do it. So it's going to onboard tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of crypto wallets. The AI world is now paying attention to what's happening in crypto. And it's just something what like us crypto people have wanted for so long, is like AI to like look over at us, and they're doing it finally. So you're getting these AI investors or developers integrating and using crypto. So a lot of our calls have been very AI centric. And one that's not a small market cap. It's not like one of these $1 million to $10 million winners. And that's why I wanted to talk about on the show today, because I'm a pretty big fan of it. It's called BVV, and it's for short, it's Venice AI. Oh, yeah, you can see it absolutely run. We caught it at a $50 million market cap just a couple weeks ago. So pretty recently. So probably right, it was in February, I believe. So somewhere right around $50 million, we called it. It was certainly right around there, but right before these giant candles. And because we like a lot of the things behind it, and I encourage everyone to kind of check this out. Now it's up, you know, at least a 5X. It got all the way up to like 350 or 320 at one point. So always when you see candles, just God candles like that go straight up, I always recommend that you pull out your initials and you pull out profit, because typically there's going to be some retracement, and we're seeing a little bit of it, but there's been some big movements here. So VVV is Venice AI, and it's a decentralized AI platform that was founded by an individual named Eric Voorhees, who's well known in the AI world, the crypto world, an entrepreneur, just a strong voice out there. And the platform really aimed with private, uncensored AI tools like texts, images, code generation, So every time we put our information into ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude or whatever it is, it's like stored in some centralized database. Like I don't worry about it too much, but I know like Joe won't like put pictures on there of like his family because he's like, I don't want the like people having it. So as crypto native people, we do like privacy. So this kind of does it all. And that's why we called it as a winner. And it took off. And then OpenClaw is kind of the new hot AI topic in the Claude bot. And they started utilizing Venice as some infrastructure. And recently got some news. Maybe that's not all what they're using. But regardless, this VVV tokens absolutely ran. And I think there's a case that it could go higher. Do I think it corrects? Sure. Like, you know, volatility is the name of the game, especially in lower market caps. But this is one with a really strong founder, a really strong story in the time when we're talking about Meta with AI and crypto. And then I do think privacy coins and privacy in particular is going to be really important with Meta. AI. I think AI, these agents, I think AI developers are going to want some sort of like privacy around their tokens. And if that's like, you know, it doesn't have to be a completely like private sector coin, but I think privacy is going to be kind of, it's already been a big part of talking points. So this kind of checks the boxes for a lot. Privacy, AI, strong founder. And that's why we called it 50 million. And since then, we've actually called some smaller tokens like the Felix agent. People can check that out. Juno. These are actual AI agents that have been given. They're autonomous AI agents. So they have a human that developed them. They gave them wallets. And I think Felix today has made $90,000 in revenue over the past couple of weeks. Just selling products and services. It's pretty wild. So, of course, they have their own token and the price goes up when you make $90,000 in revenue. Heck, they're making more. Yeah, type in Felix. Heck, yeah, that's it right there. Should be. $3 million market cap. Yeah, so we called it right around $1 million or $2 million, I think. And it ran all the way to $5 or $6 million around the same time. And then, you know, it's corrected. But this is an actual autonomous AI agent, has a human developer behind it, but it's making revenue. Early on coins, not saying for people to just go out and just start buying any AI agent or Felix or anything along those lines. But that's kind of my rant on why the world of AI and crypto is so interesting. And we're seeing it make a completely new form. And it's the rabbit hole I'm living in right now.
Yeah, that's a fact. And if you want to hop in the rabbit hole or the trenches, as we like to call it with Brian and Joe, and get access first alerts to these calls again, I think that was like a 5X. This was a 3 or 2 or 3X. We had, you know, we talked about Punch the Monkey. That was a podcast call, funny enough. It's a fun community. And if there's anybody in here that is in the community, let people know in the comments what you think. But if you want to get a trial, dollar trial in the description, check it out. And again, none of this is personal financial advice. Be careful of these specific calls. Like Brian said, they've already kind of ripped to the upside. And as we say, you got to be aware of that hockey stick. But you want to get the calls early, that you got to be in the community. So check out the link below. Something that we talk about a lot. We have to cover it here. Pudgy Penguin under fire, Brian. We hate to see that for our cute, lovable little friend. But it looks like they're getting sued for some trademark infringement. The consensus online is this is kind of BS, a bogus suit. They're probably just seeing all the success that Pudgy Penguin's having and trying to wet the beak, if you will, pun intended. Any thoughts around this?
Yeah, I do have some thoughts. I feel like it's pretty bogus, to be honest with you. They're suing them for trademark infringement. You look at the logos between Pudgy Penguin's logo and the Penguin Apparel logo. I personally think they look nothing alike. I don't think their apparel looks good at all. Apparently it's saying some bad audio. Can you hear me on my end there, Tivo?
I hear you fine.
Yeah, I feel my mic looks good. Just
yeah, maybe it could be a YouTube connection issue. Cayman's texting me.
Okay.
I hear you guys fine, but some people are saying bad audio. So it might be just a YouTube issue. So we'll continue on.
Yeah. It looks good on my end. So I'll keep talking about. But yeah, I'm not overly concerned about this lawsuit. Now, the thing that sucks is that Pudgy Penguins is in a lawsuit. You know, it's probably going to bring a few more eyeballs to the project, but they're going to have to probably pay for some legal fees. They're going to have to, you know, go through this a little bit more and more often, but I don't think they look anything alike. I don't know. Do you have, years ago, like whenever I was like shopping 20 years ago at like Abercrombie and Fitch and Hollister, I think I owned like a Penguin apparel. I don't even know. I didn't even know they still existed.
What would I search to pull up that logo?
Maybe PEI, I think PEI Penguin.
PEI,
Penguin
logo.
Penguin apparel. It's like a little like, I got it. It's like a little outline of it. I don't know. It looks nothing.
I think I got it. Is it this guy?
Yeah, man. And then the one right next to it, the Penguin apparel. I don't know. Like, how is that the same as the Pudgy Penguins? Unless I'm
It's not even close.
Unless I'm totally missing something, all I see here is that two companies that have penguins as their flagship mascot have clothes. And they look nothing alike. So I'm not overly concerned about it, long story short.
Yeah, there's the side by side for everybody. I mean,
look at this guy.
this is hilarious.
this guy, I don't know who he is, but we need to get him on a podcast.
That's hilarious.
I mean, it feels like a bogus suit. Now, I would be sweating some bullets anytime I haven't been in a lawsuit, but if I'm in a weird lawsuit, nobody wants to be in a lawsuit. Time, money, just anxiety, but from like a Pengu token or like, is Luca sweating this? I don't think so. And someone wrote in the comments, no, publicity is bad publicity. And that's probably true.
I'm loving the app when people tag Rock. I like looking at that stuff. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this is, you just got to worry about what's the legal tie up. But, you know, the PEI licensing guy, they're probably on the downfall, like grasping at straws. So my guess is they'd run out of money first, hopefully, and this thing gets brushed under the rug by the courts quickly. So not too worried about it. A little Magic Eden update, pulling the plug on Bitcoin and Ethereum support. Magic Eden doubling down on Solana.
Yeah, I had to put this in. Just anybody had, I still have some NFTs. I still have some Bitcoin NFTs. I still obviously have a lot of Ethereum NFTs. And Magic Eden, man, like a year or two ago, they were like the go-to place for NFTs. They were getting a smooth interface. And now they're just like, hey, we're pulling the plug. We're going back to our roots with Solana. I'm sure they'll be successful. I know they've had some works with building out a few different products. But just wanted to make a call out. Anybody with those Bitcoin ordinals or Ethereum, there's other marketplaces out there. But it looks like Magic Eden's not going to be that one-stop shop anymore. And, OpenSea's probably pretty happy about that, I'd imagine.
Yeah, we've had Magic Eden, OpenSea on the pod, always trying to keep you guys updated with the roadmaps. I think I've had you interview them once or twice, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, you just got to figure out what the roadmaps are, what works for them, and we'll be the first ones to bring it to you. Some Pump Fun news. We haven't talked about Pump Fun in a while.
Yeah, Pump Fun. What the heck? I'm going to have to look at the token really quickly because that's like one of those apps that I was talking about. Yeah, it's just down right now. It's down. But man, it's one of those apps out there that I think is doing some really interesting thing always. And it seems to just squash the competition. But they're bringing on non-native assets. So users increasingly want to trade and hold more without having to leave the app. So anything that's not derived on Pump Fun or a Pump token, you couldn't utilize on their platform. So they're opening it up to the world. And they should. It's going to be better for their product overall. Just a call out there for the community.
Yeah, a lot to keep track. Pump Fun had that. Wow, man, I'll never forget that release video they did that looked like everybody was on a... you know, mushrooms or something. That was wild when they did drop that video.
Yeah.
Very, very creative. Very fun. That's it. Let's open, we'll open the comments for questions on a Friday. Any questions for Brian? Any questions for me? And then we can just spitball kind of this AI agent economy a little bit. There were some notes that Brian put in that he wanted to talk about. Not necessarily crypto specific, but at least in our eyes, where we see the puck going is these crypto rails are going to merge with the AI rails, kind of like you talked about with Felix, right? Like, that's where this is going. At the end of the day, we've always kind of viewed ourselves as futurists, if you will, being involved in Bitcoin and crypto so early. And you know, the AI and these AI agents are the next round of that. So, you know, it's something interesting to talk about. We got a couple minutes left. So where would you like to take it, Brian? And then if you get any questions in the chat, we'll answer those as well.
Yeah, I'm going to spitfire a little bit more about this AI agent economy. I know Joe is heavily involved with it as well, something we talk about, and it just looks like that's where the momentum is. And it excites us because it makes a lot of sense, and not just like these straight agents, just the complete integration of AI and crypto. I think it's really going to be interesting. And I was throwing out, like, OpenAI just released their new ChatGPT version, which I found it surprisingly strong. I don't know if you used ChatGPT's 5.4, mm-mm. But I actually message came in a couple of the boys in Slack yesterday. This 5.4 ChatGPT's pretty strong. And I was messing around with Claude for some time, and I this new update was pretty good. It was pretty good. And just some of the things I took back is I loved how it could recall a lot of my, if I open a new conversation, it could recall past conversations. It would always get real squirrely on me. And I like would yell at it and stuff and call it a clanker. And now it was like really sharp yesterday. So I'm excited to see how they're building it out. But it seems like everybody is accepting that these chatbots are part of everyday life. I mean, you have to use them more and more often. Do you use like ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude, or what's your go-to to look into something?
Yeah, I really would like to get in on the Claude. I mean, it's a Claude bot. It's like live by the claw, die by the claw. Haven't jumped into the Anthropic tank yet, but I've seen nothing but tweets and stuff about it. So I don't know if the team is working on a subscription. We have a team subscription. I might have to dial up my own. But yeah, I enjoy ChatGPT. I as the media guy, I've really dove into the media side of it. And we talked about the thumbnails. I mean, the thumbnails went from, you know, a 2 to 2 day delivery and, you know, a cost to, you know, 95% less for me to make it my own in 10 minutes. So that was interesting. The video software is just going at such a fast pace. I've just been fooling around with it, trying to make, whether it's memes or different like ad type content, just playing around with it. Cause I, you know, my background is, you know, as a producer, director and whatever, making stuff, that's kind of my passion. So I've been playing around with it, man. And it's pretty wild, what you can do. I think the interesting thing is you kind of definitely still need the skill set of an editor to piece it together. I think that's, I'm trying to figure out how I can get a full flow of, like, whether it's a Claude bot or a ChatGPT to be like, hey, here's what I want to do. Can you go execute it through multiple agents? That's definitely where the next multimillionaires are going to be made. People that can implement these systems into businesses. Like, you're going to start seeing, you know, single company unicorns, maybe, like these people that can develop these systems and then implement them into businesses. It's super, super interesting. I wouldn't say mastered anything yet, but I'm getting good at getting it into my workflow. But there's the agents that can do the work in the background. I'm definitely stuck at the point where, like, all right, I'm going to interact and it's going to speed up my workflow. I haven't gotten to the point yet where I can build something in the background and it just kind of runs on its own. Have you gotten to that point yet?
Yeah, I've messed around with it quite a bit. And you bring up Anthropic. I just wanted to mention this because I don't know if we talked about this on a rundown or not, but like Trump called them a supply chain risk and wanted them to give a bunch of information over, and their CEO kind of went off the rails, Dario. And then he actually apologized to the Department of War today in a big letter.
The Anthropic guy did?
Yeah, because like they like were kind of like, if you did, you couldn't do business with the U.S. government if you did business with Anthropic. So there's some back and forth going on, and the government's trying to figure out, you know, a lot of things. We as people are. And he even, I put it in here, Anthropic CEO says, actually another, about this, Claude may have consciousness. Anthropic CEO says may or may not have gained consciousness. I don't know how how true that is. But he said the model has been showing signs of symptoms of anxiety. So I certainly am going to probably steer away from calling my chatbot a clanker and yelling at it whenever it gives me bad information.
I saw that. I said, welcome to the world, young Claude. Welcome to the world. Have some anxiety with the rest of us. Yeah, the Anthropic thing was interesting because there was like the fallout that he wouldn't sign. Or not he, but the company wouldn't sign. It was like mass surveillance on Americans and unmanned warfare. The specifics of that probably go really deep, but they wouldn't. They're like, oh, take this clause out, right? And the Department of War was like, no, sign this or you're not going to get the contract. So then they refused to sign it out of, morals. They're like, hey, we're trying to build the guardrails of like the moral compass for these things, and we don't think this is where we should go. They don't sign it. There's big news like, oh, the government is disbanding the contract with Anthropic. And then I'll never forget this. I saw it on the morning. It was like Sam Altman was doing like a press round. He was like, yeah, well, Anthropic and Dario is a great CEO. And, I don't know the details, but I'm sure if, whatever he chose is, he's trying to build the best and the right thing for the future and harmony and, blah, blah, blah. He was like basically saying, like giving Dario a vote of confidence. And then literally like 36 hours later, OpenAI signed the contract. That's crazy. That's crazy. I think Sam Altman might be one of the best fundraisers of all time, but like, man, I wouldn't trust that guy as far as I can throw him.
Gives me weird vibes, man. Sam Altman gives me weird vibes.
I don't want to say that because it's such a cool product and it's such a cool industry, and you want to like really root for people that are building the future of the world. But yeah, he gives a weird vibe. His Joe Rogan interview was the first long form interview I ever listened to him, and he was pretty odd there too.
I know I didn't watch it. I watched Joe Rogan here and then. I have to check it out. But who else gave me weird vibes early on? And this is like no duh, is Sam Bankman-Fried. Like SBF, I never opened a FTX account because I didn't like the way like he acted for some reason. Nothing they said. And then, he pulled that whole FTX debacle and I was like, I knew it. Now, I don't want that to happen to Sam Altman and OpenAI. Please, we don't need that.
Originally, there was the lawsuit with Elon, too, right? It was like a nonprofit, and now Sam's driving her and has like a $200 million car collection. So it's like it's hard to see where it's going. We got some questions in the chat. We'll get to them. Beachfront, we'll get to your question in a minute but after we wrap up the AI talk. I saw this. State of New York wants to ban chatbots to eliminate lawyer and medical questions. Interesting. Man, this thing's just going so fast. So again, we're crypto specific here, but we think that this is the future and it's something we're monitoring. So, again, it's something, if you like the conversation, leave us a comment and we can do more AI news. Brian and I throw off ideas of creating different types of content all the time. So if you like this stuff, maybe we can make some different videos on it. Just let us know in the comments. Let's see. We got a question here about Brian's group, Brian and Joe's group. Are they meant to buy those meme coins, get 2 to 3x, and then get your money out? Again, we do not give personal financial advice, just educational in nature. And these alerts are saying, hey, this is what we're looking at for possible potential trades. And you got to do your own risk management. Again, I think Brian said it earlier. It's like, hey, you get that 2, 3, 4, 5x, you better. Usually he likes to take some off the top, but. How do you look at that, Brian, for, when you do make a great call, how do you look at that?
Yeah, we have a pretty good track record. I mean, they all won't be winners because, you don't know the future. But where we go is we try to follow where the momentum is, where all the hype is. And it's like perfect for times like this when we're just like stuck in this choppy channel of crypto majors. It's a little different like when we're just ripping on the high side and you can throw your money into any alt and it goes up. We're really just trying to, where the puck goes. That's where we're going. And we can catch these winners somewhat early typically because we're seeing where the momentum is, where the crowds are going. And we try to do a lot of the research for everyone and then give it to you in a very digestible format, like 5-10 minutes on like why we like the token, who's maybe backing it, what the plan they're trying to solve is. Just do a lot of the due diligence for people, and you have to kind of do some work on your end, but you nailed it. We'll catch these big winners, and we typically have quite a few, and whenever they happen, I always pull my profits out and usually take some profit, and then I ride that free roll. I love the free roll, man. Like, there's nothing better. Now, I have some dusty wallets with some, you know, free roll money that just unfortunately went to zero. But I'm like, all right, well, it is what it is. But they can usually come back. But we could talk about meme coins because they're hot and there's a punch the monkey or something coming out like that. And that's where attention is. Or AI and AI agents. I think this AI agent meta is going to be huge. And how it's going to develop is something that we're evaluating every day. And it honestly changes. As I'm recording my newsletter sometimes, like things are changing in front of me. So that's why we try to stay up on it and give everyone just, you know, some advice. And we also talk about the majors and macro as well. You can't do what we do if we don't understand, like, what's going on in, you know, Bitcoin and Ethereum and in Solana and those big rails. So we try to give you a little bit of everything. And we're always open to it. If people want to hear more about, like, certain aspects, I've done newsletters where I've just like, hey, Poly Market, they're coming out with a Poly token. This is how, or Kalshi, this is the new crypto guy. I think they could be given an airdrop one day and kind of just give my 2 cents. And we kind of go where the momentum is. And right now it's in AI agents.
Couldn't agree more. And it's just a super fun kind of community too, because you're riding. You're just riding together in the trenches and you're finding big winners and you're letting things roll. And again, it's the ups and downs of market and trading on steroids. And it's fun because you're really kind of parsing through the different spaces of the internet, whether it's AI agents or the culture of the memes and all that stuff. It's really fun. And it pairs well perfectly with Crypt Nation and Crypt Nation VIP and kind of the macro. And then you have Brendan, technical analysis and trading. That's why our team is so good, because we have so many different expertises. A couple people in the comments were looking for, let's see, the Habish and David were looking for CC, Canton Network. CC just went live on Robinhood, I believe, yesterday. And also we had a couple podcasts go live around Canton Network as well. I just posted one on YouTube yesterday. So if you go to the video section after this, 2026 altcoins to watch Canton Network, it actually out of the gate is doing really well. You know, 600 plus views in the first day, which is great.
Hell of a token, man.
People love it. So you definitely want to go check out that video. But any thoughts before they go watch the video?
Yeah, I mean, they're a layer one blockchain designed for banks and financial institutions. And, you know, they're really focused on tokenizing real world assets like bonds, treasuries, funds. They're really merging the institutional blockchain for TradFi and tokenized assets. And I think this is another area of huge growth. Privacy coins, RWAs, AI, all of this has some really unique opportunities to pop off. And Canton, I guess we argue that's certainly an altcoin, you know, and we were kind of like, I was saying, like, some altcoins suck. Canton doesn't fall into that category for me. And I kind of bash on L1s, like too many L1s. I feel like they're, but when they have specific use cases in, like, they're backed by major institutions like Goldman Sachs and CBOE and just Microsoft, they have some major backers. So it doesn't feel like they're going anywhere anytime soon. So Canton, check out the podcast. I didn't listen to it yet, but I'll probably listen to it this weekend where I'm looks maxing at the gym with you.
I love it. No, it's definitely was a great pod, worth the listen. And you get to hear from Brendan, who's been, you know, working hard behind the scenes. And that's why we've had me and you kind of tag team the last couple of rundowns, because he's been behind the scenes grinding it out with the new cohort of the trading bull run that started this week. So I'll leave you with this again. But yeah, we were saying, like, hey, all coins are down to FTX levels. And we look at this sometimes, Google Trends. And again, people said that Google Trends were dead. But hey, we still, within the last year, we hit 100 on the altcoin measure back in July. And so, as you can see, absolutely down in the dumps now, getting as low as a 5, now at a 7. But we got to 100. And to think that, again, goes back to that quote of retail will be back. And I do truly believe that. And there's altcoins to be had and there's winners to be had, but you got to know where to look and you got to know where to educate. And I think what this last cycle told us, I want to get your point on this because you're my expert, but I think what the last cycle told us is And we've had some pops in the dinosaur coins, but just because past performance in an altcoin doesn't guarantee future performance as well. There's no guarantee of getting back to that all-time high. And that goes to the fact of how this technology is moving so fast, whether it's AI or just crypto rails in general. There's all these new projects and all these new flashy things, AI agents, altcoins, stocks, around all this futuristic type of things that we're building. That it's, you do need the education, right? It's hard to parse through on your own. And we try to really do our best through the YouTube, through the podcast, which we appreciate you listening to bring the information to you. But again, if you want more access to Brian, more access to Bryce, Brendan, and the whole entire research team, check the links below. We got a lot of great, fun, educational programs, and we have a great community. And again, we know the market's down, but if you build, builders build. And when you build in the downturn, you get reap the rewards of the upturn. So do you kind of agree with that sentiment of, you know, it's you can't just buy what worked in 2018 and wait?
Yeah, yeah. Joe and I talk about that quite a bit, that, you know, our timeline horizon on certain opportunities are certainly a little tighter right now. But it's, I don't know. I drink the Kool-Aid with what we do here. I really do. We show up every single day. We're big believers in it. It's not just from hopium, even though, you know, I'll be sucking the hopium till the day I die. We have real fundamental and TA analysis here of why we believe the cryptocurrency sector is going to grow, why blockchain is going to grow. And I think everybody on our team, all the analysts, have like a little bit different vibe and take to how they approach it. But what we always seem to land on is like very similar points of views, you know, very similar tokens that we like. When we talk about tokens that we all want to like break down, we're like fighting over the same tokens for good reason. And this is, I say it all the time, this is the time to be really paying attention, because it's not like super fun, but builders build right now. And this is when like you can really like see where the big partnerships are going, where the big opportunities are going, what cryptos are actually making money. Because if they're doing okay now, man, when we're in that like euphoric bull run, when it's just everything's up only, those are going to be the real winners.
Yeah, and a great note to end on from the great Habish. How can you be down with a permabull on the screen? The permabulls, Brian. We can buy permabulls, Tivo? Permabulls, Tivo? Having a lot of fun here on a Friday. We really, truly appreciate everybody tuning in. We really couldn't do this without you. But that's going to be all for us today. We're going to wrap up. Like I said, I think Brendan's busy. We've got, you know, the team's just kind of really grinding. There's a lot going on that's excited about, but Brian stepped up. I was actually going to tell you this offline, but I just appreciate you being my content workhorse between the summit that we're preparing for. We'll promote that next week. And just doing these podcasts with me. I really enjoyed doing it with you. And I thank you for your time. But happy Friday to everybody. We will be back next week with some more rundowns, some more podcast episodes. The Robinhood episode coming out Tuesday. Get excited for that. And we just really appreciate your time. Hope everybody enjoys the weekend. And that's all for us. Bye-bye, everybody.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Bayard Winthrop, founder of American Giant. I started this company because I was fed up with cheap clothes that didn't last and companies that shipped manufacturing overseas. We believed we could still make incredible clothing right here in the U.S. with American cotton and American workers earning real wages. That's what we stand for, making clothes that actually last. Get 20% off your first order when you use code GIANT20 at American-Giant.com.